From the beginning of this channel, I had a fascination with the unexplained, the paranormal, and of course, cryptozoology. This is the longest running series on the channel, this being episode 53. Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. It's good to see you made it back for another video. Today I'm going to be sharing once again some creepy and allegedly true and unexplained stories sent in by viewers just like you. As always, if you have a story you would like to share in a future episode, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help keep this show going. Now, without further ado, let us get into these creepy and allegedly true stories that'll have you scratching your head tonight, trying to figure out just what happened. Hello, Swamp. I am 16 years old now, and at the time of this story, I was 15. This happened July 4th weekend of 2019. Me and my family, including my three aunts, three uncles, and all of their kids, who I will not name, were there with us. There were two in particular who we'll call Preston and Delaney. Preston was about 5 and Delaney was about 6. There were some other older cousins who weren't really involved in this story. Anyway, we were about to leave from central Indiana to go to Dale Hollow Lake in Tennessee. I was put in my uncle's truck with my dad, my uncle, and of course, I was stuck with my annoying little cousins. Just my luck. Anyway, all the driving through Kentucky was very boring, of course, as it's, well, you know, Kentucky. We were making a great time, and it was beginning to get dark outside. As we were driving through all the counties, I would look up the history of the counties and towns on my phone to pass time. That's how I knew where this event took place. Anyway, it was getting dark and I had begun to doze off. We entered Metcalf County, Kentucky. I was extremely close to falling asleep when I saw a bright flash in my uncle's mirror. He had extended mirrors because he was towing a boat behind him. I began to see flashes in all of the mirrors, which woke me up very quickly and intrigued me. I began looking constantly around, trying to catch whatever this was. What I saw next, I'll never forget. I caught whatever it was in my uncle's mirror, and as if it sensed that I saw it, it stopped, and what I saw still haunts me. It was a humanoid figure that was all naked with absolutely no features that I could see. There was no face, no genitals, no mouth, no nose, etc. It was extremely skinny, as if its ribs were going to rip apart from its skin, and although it had no features that I could tell, it smiled a smile that resembled the smile from the cat of Alice in Wonderland. It seemed like its face ripped open to create this smile, and blood and chunks of something began spilling from its face. I obviously freaked out, but didn't say anything as to not scare my little cousins. All I could do was pray and hope that this thing would go away. But strangely, I got a very strange feeling, a primordial rage, a very angry feeling. Like, I could get out and rip this thing apart, which is very out of character for me, as I was a calm, 5'8", 140-pound kid. Anyways, after about 10 minutes of pure rage, I broke down quietly and began praying once more. I do not know what I saw that night, but I know I'll never forget it. Thank you for sharing my story. Hello, Swamp. I live in New England, and I'm 46 years old. This event happened in June of 2020. My stepdaughter lives in Colorado, and has been bugging me for years to come visit her at her new house. Finally, we planned a trip. This trip was exceptionally long. Me, my wife, and our four children started driving in my Ford F-350 pulling a travel trailer. The trailer was 40 feet long and weighed about 7,800 pounds. Most of the trip was uneventful until we got to Route 96. an exceptionally long straight road with fields on both sides. It was around 3 a.m., and everyone was asleep. My children were in the back seat, my wife was sitting next to me in the front. Because I took a nap hours before, I decided to drive through the night while everyone sleeps. Out of nowhere, it started to rain heavily so hard that I could barely see the road and the wind was making the trailer sway from side to side. I was going around 55 miles per hour when I passed a gravel entrance to a ranch, and standing at the gate was what seemed to be a deer. Because I was driving fast in the heavy rain, I did not pay much attention to it and kept driving. Every 30 seconds or so, I looked at the rear view mirrors because I was pulling the trailer when I saw something on it. A silhouette of something big. I thought it was just the rain. I looked forward again, and after 30 seconds or so, I looked in the rearview mirror on my left, and there was nothing. So I said to myself it must have been the rain playing tricks. As I was changing my sight to the front, there it was. This thing was in front of my truck, and to the left was this deer, gray in color. Its head was partially crushed, eyeballs were completely white. I looked at its body, and parts of the skin were missing. I literally can see the water from the rain going inside this thing. I switched the high beams on, and the eyeballs shine with the light. I was able to keep my cool even in the worst situation, and so I did. But I could feel my heart beating so hard inside of my chest that I got concerned, so I hit the gas pedal. I was trying to get away from this thing. My wife woke up with a loud whistle from the turbo on my truck. She asked me if everything was okay. You want to stop for a minute? I said no, everything is fine and go back to sleep. I was worried that my wife or my children would see this thing, whatever it was. I found myself driving 75 miles per hour pulling a 7,800-pound trailer with low visibility and a lot of rain. I looked at my GPS and I can see there's an upcoming train track, so I hit the brakes slowly. When I looked in my mirrors, the thing was not there. I had left it behind. As soon as I got out of that route, the rain stops, and the rest of the trip was quiet. When we arrived at my stepdaughter's house later, my wife tells me that she had a weird dream about a deer. I told her it was just a dream. I did not tell her because to go back home, we had to take that same route. To this day, I do not know what on earth we saw. I guess I'll never know for sure. All I know is that I know what I saw, and it was no natural deer. I was 15 when this happened. My friend, we will call her Sunflower since it's her favorite flower, was 16. Now, I was spending the weekend at her house. The time was sometime around 3:30 to 3:35 p.m. when we were walking from the pond on the road. Now let me explain. Her house was surrounded by woods. To leave, you had to follow her road to the gate, or go through the woods and hope you found the highway. To get to the pond, you either went through the eerie woods behind her house or followed the highway until you found a dirt road that had a dead end. You had to follow this little trail all the way to the end. It was a small fading trail. Ultimately, the highway was the long way to the pond. Going on, I and Sunflower had decided to take a long way, the highway. We had already made it through the woods on our way to the pond in the first place, which still took a good amount of time. We wanted to take the long way home since Nana was cooking dinner early, and the plan was to get home and be able to eat, then watch movies, rather than walk back in an hour or so and still be waiting for food. So obviously we were walking on the highway. I and Sunflower finally made it to a point in our walk that it was not too far from home. Meanwhile, we were still walking. We passed a house that was white and soft green in color, with a mailbox in the front of it and a walkway to the road. It was a humble little home and quite cute. I was only a few feet from it since we moved aside for a truck to go by. When we went back onto the road, I saw something out of the corner of my eye. In the yard of the house we were literally just next to, our footsteps stopped and I immediately looked at the sight. My heart ran cold as I was startled by what I saw. Do you know how you double take? You look, then look away, then look back again real fast. That is what I had done. The first time, my brain did not register quick enough. I looked back, and my skin went cold. I saw a brief image of a girl right next to the mailbox. The girl had short black hair and a long nightgown. Before I could even register any more of her, I blinked, and she was gone. I did not understand what I saw. At first, I thought I had just watched too many horror movies, but later that night, I began to understand what I saw. I turned to Sunflower, and she was looking at the mailbox before slowly turning to me. Did you just see that? I had goosebumps running up my arms, and we ran home a bit shaken. When we got home, we did not say anything about what we had seen to Nana. We stayed quiet. When dinner was done 5 minutes after getting home, we prayed over it and went about the rest of our day cautiously, but normally. It was a decently fun time. We watched movies like any other pair of teenage girls. A lot of romances and dramas. Hours went by and we had forgotten all about what happened earlier. During the past hours, we had gotten a bit hungry. So, of course, we heated up some leftover food, turned on the porch light, and ate at the table on the porch. Things were okay for an hour or so when we were outside. You know, just chatting away. A little longer in the dark, Sunflower decided to call Raven on her phone. That is when it got really weird. We had not been on the phone with her long, just long enough for me to move now being positioned on the railing, my back turned to the darkness with Sunflower standing a few feet in front of me. I remember she was explaining to Raven about her new puppy when I heard something behind me. I turned behind me to see a ball bouncing in the yard. I thought the wind had blown it off of the chair since it was indeed an exceptionally light ball and it was a bit windy out. I looked at Sunflower, and she had not noticed, so I went to get the ball to bounce it myself. When I stepped off the porch, I grabbed the ball and went to walk to the porch, but I felt this hesitation. Oh my gosh, run, she's chasing you. I was shocked at the tone she used and looked behind me to make sure she was not joking. She was one to mess with me, you know? So it was like the boy who cries wolf. I felt stupid afterward. Thinking about it, even though she does joke with me, why would she do this in such a blood-curdling tone? Regret pounded me when I turned around. I instantly dropped the ball and sprinted to the house. Her husky, who she named Chief, started running off the porch, but then it turned back onto the porch and was barking. With all the ruckus and the sound of sticks breaking, being able to hear our heartbeats, I was terrified. When I had turned around, I wish I would have just listened to her and ran. It was the girl from earlier, but she was clearer this time. Her short, untamed, curly black hair still covering her face, running at me faster than any dog could. Her white dress moving with her feet as she ran. There were mud stains on her dress, holes all over it. I remember screaming for Sunflower to open the door when we reached the porch. She could not get the door to open at first. Her adrenaline killing her. When we got to the door, we finally got it open. Chief ran inside and we slammed shut the door and locked it. I had been the last one in. I had that feeling that makes you think that you're about to get got. When we got inside, we ran to her room freaking out. I cried because what I had seen. It was not the first time I had a ghostly experience, or at least, not the last anyway. It might have been the first, though. I was chased by anything so horrific. When we calmed down, we waited for her mom to come home. When her mom finally did come home, however, it was around 11. We told her about what happened, and that is when I found out, back in the woods by the pond, there was a record of a girl being, you know, assaulted and murdered there. I also found out they live on Indian burial grounds, which probably doesn't help the situation any. Maybe it got something to do with this. I'm not sure. I'd love to hear what you and the rest of the Swamp Team thinks. Hello, Swamp Folk. Sorry to interrupt this video, but today we have gotten sponsored by Warby Parker. Warby Parker is committed to providing exceptional vision care online and in stores, offering eyeglasses, sunglasses, eye exams, and contact lenses. glasses starting at $95, including prescription lenses, sunglasses, progressives, and blue light lenses are also available. Recently, Warby Parker sent me a few frames to try out, and I honestly love it. I took a quiz, they sent them to me absolutely free, and I gotta see which one I like the best. The glasses look absolutely great. The quality of the glasses are top-notch. The ease of the home try-on system is honestly superb. It's super simple. And being able to be able to share the glasses with your friends or family before you even purchase the product and know that they like it is super cool. Try Warby Parker's free home try-on program. Order 5 pairs of glasses to try at home for free for 5 days. There's no obligation to buy. It ships free and includes a prepaid return shipping label. You can try 5 pairs at home for free at warbyparker.com/swamped. My name is Tatiana. It has been a while since I discovered your YouTube channel. I must say I enjoy the stories here, and I like listening to them mostly because of my life. I have had to deal with supernatural encounters, especially ghosts and demons. Before jumping into the story, I want to talk about today. I want to apologize for my English, since it is not my first language, and my grammar mistakes might be too frequent. For context, I am 31 years old, I'm a female, and I am from a small European country named Romania. My country is known to the supernatural lovers for our vampire stories, though I myself have never seen anything like that, to my disappointment. When I was around 14 years old, my whole family moved from the seaside where I was born and raised to a different country, in the hills area, quite far away from my birthplace. We moved to a small, incredibly old house at the edge of a forest. From the start, I was experiencing small things like my name being called when I was home alone, small objects moving across my desk when I was doing homework, steps in the attic, and so on. But I was not worried about any of them since it was a normal day-to-day thing for me. I was pretty much used to it and thought it was normal. I have also dealt with things much worse than this in the past. Besides, I did not feel any fear or any threats really, so I was hoping everything was okay. The entities seemed harmless at the time. This first encounter I will describe is kind of funny. After finishing high school, I moved to the second biggest city in our country, to go further with my studies, but I was visiting my parents as often as I could, sometimes even several times a month since it was just 3 hours away by bus. So at the time of this event, I was around 21 or 22 years old, something along those lines. One evening, when I was visiting home, I was getting ready for bed. I was going to the bedroom from the bathroom, and when I closed the door and turned my back to it to go to the bed, the door handle started to squeak on its own, as if someone had pressed it down to try to open the door again. I turned around to face the door and the noise stopped. Since no one was coming, I turned my back to the door to go towards the bed and the sound resumed. I faced the door once again and the noise stopped again. This happened a total of 7 to 8 times in a row, in the span of easily under 5 minutes. Getting sleepy and annoyed, I said out loud, "Please stop it, because it's not funny anymore, and I want to sleep." The noise stopped completely, and I went to bed with no other incidents for the night. When I went to sleep, I covered myself from head to toe. This is important information for what came next. As the morning came, somehow my feet came out from under the covers, and I felt my feet lift into the air by themselves. I felt my covers being pulled over my feet, and then my feet were gently placed back on the bed. I opened my eyes to greet my mom, because I believed it was her making sure I was comfy in bed. Yet, when I looked around, there was no one in the room. Even though I never heard the door open or anyone come in, I left my room to look for my mom and thank her for taking care of me, but I could not find my mom or dad anywhere in the house, the yard, or the garden. I called my mom to find that both she and my dad were out. They had left the house more than an hour before the incident described above happened. I went back to my room feeling a little weird, but trying to just think positive about it. I thanked the ghost for being nice and taking care of me. I guess it was the ghost's way for apologizing me for the prank with the door handle from the night before. It is nice knowing that not all ghosts are evil. Some are playful and nice and even take care of us when our family is not around. I know this story is not super scary. I have some scary ones too that I think I will share with you in the future. In any case, I hope this can help your channel, and I hope you find them interesting enough to narrate them. But I guess a little funny story every now and then is okay for the good morale and making people understand that not all supernatural beings are necessarily evil and out to get them. My dad was a great guy. He was strong and kind. He thought about others before he thought about himself. He lived a good life, but eventually his body and his mind began to fail. At the same time, my mother was also one of the greatest people I have ever met. She was diagnosed with cancer. They told her she had between 6 months to 2 years, depending on how well she responded to chemo, how much rest she could get, etc. After a few months, it became clear that my mom could not take care of my dad, as he was prone to wandering off, and I could only help so much as I have my own daughter who has special needs. They had been through one heart transplant and would eventually need a second. I decided that, to give my mom and dad the healthiest, safest life, we would need to put my dad in a nursing home. I felt guilty, as we had never talked about his wishes before he got sick. Eventually, my dad lost his battle and died quietly. I was with him for 2 days straight in the nursing home. He kept hanging on for some reason, and no one knew why. On his last night, I sat in his room and eventually dozed off. The hospice nurse said, the second my head slumped down and I fell asleep, my dad died. He was waiting to die when I would not be watching him go. I feel like he did that to protect me one last time. We buried my dad a few days later. The following day, Hurricane Ike sent terrible winds and storms throughout the East Coast. In my city, 1,000 miles away, was affected. Trees were torn down and the power went out for 5 days in most of our city. That night, in complete darkness and absolute silence, I felt my bed shake. I looked up and saw my dad sitting at the end of my bed. He, or I guess his spirit, sat there, looking at me. He did not say a word, but I could tell he looked sad. I did not know what this all meant. Over the next year, he came to visit me several more times. He never said a word. He just looked sad. I tried to talk to him, but he would just look at me and slowly fade away. About 2 years later, I got a wild idea to drive to the beach where he and my mom took me as a kid. I went by myself and drove the 13 hours to the Florida town. By then, my daughter had been put on a list again for a new heart, and my mom did not have much time left. I do not know what possessed me to drive to Florida, but I did. I walked on the beach for an hour. I saw the sights, smelled the smells I had as a child, and then it hit me. I could hear my dad's voice. When I was a kid, he always said if someone had to be sick in our family, he would rather it have been him. In that moment, I felt calm. I knew he was telling me that for my mom, his loving wife, to survive, he needed to be in the nursing home. I also knew at that moment that soon enough my daughter would get her new heart, and she and I would walk that same beach together. I drove home 13 hours and collapsed into bed. I woke up to my bed shaking. It was my dad, but this time he was smiling. He got through to me on some harebrained 26-hour round trip to Florida and let me know I did what he would have done. He smiled, and I could hear him laugh as he faded off. I've never seen him again since. A few months after this, my daughter got her new heart. She has some of her grandpa's toughness and made through like a champion. Sadly, my mom joined my dad and died 6 weeks later. But to the happy ending, my daughter and I made it to that beach a year later. We saw the sights my parents had showed me when I was a child. While standing on the beach looking into the ocean, I felt the peace of knowing I had done all I could for the people I love. I hope this is not too choppy. I typed it out on my phone, with tears in my eyes. Thank you for sharing my story, Swamp Dweller. Hi, I am Cade. This story takes place about 4 years back in Georgetown, Texas, in the middle of June. I got invited to my cousin's house to hang out. My uncle Dwayne was going to barbecue while the kids swam. I live in Victoria, which is about a 2.5-hour drive from Georgetown. I was around 19 at the time and was about halfway through Austin with my girlfriend at the time. I'll call her Sophie, when suddenly my Uncle Dwayne called with some bad news. He said it was beginning to rain so we could not swim in their pool. I had a membership at the YMCA in Round Rock, which had an indoor pool. So I asked my Uncle Dwayne if I could take the cousins to the YMCA to swim, and he said yes. So Sophie and I kept driving. My Ford F-150 ran out of gas in a little country-like subset of the town. We had just enough gas to get to a gas station. This gas station was old and run down. It didn't look like it was even in business now that I look back on it. But I walked in and there was an old man at the counter, who kind of reminded me of Sig Haid or Captain Spaulding. He shot me this look like no other, and said, "We don't get many of you city folk out here." "Really?" I replied as I grabbed a package of sour gummy worms, some jerky, and two bottles of sweet tea, one for me and one for Sophie. I then walked up to the counter and paid for a pack of Marlboro Blacks and my gas. I thanked the cashier, and he didn't reply. I thought that was weird, but kept it to myself, and I walked out the door, set our loot in my truck and filled up the gas tank, and then hopped in my truck and began the drive. Once we arrived at my Uncle Dwayne's house, we were greeted by my Aunt Heather and her two daughters, who were 15 and 16 at the time. I'll call them Tessa and Sam. After being greeted, Sophie went to hang out with Sam and Tessa, and I went to go help my Uncle Dwayne with the barbecue. He chatted about college and stuff of that nature. We then ate, and after that, I drove Sam, Tessa, and Sophie to the YMCA. After we finished up the pool, we were walking back, and Tessa said, "Hey, look at that, it's a UFO. She pulled out her phone and began recording the UFO. After she ended the recording, we got in the truck and drove back to their house. After we got back, we went to sleep. I woke up fairly early, around 7:30 a.m. I made some coffee and lit my morning cigarette. After I finished my coffee, Tessa walked out of her room with her phone in her hand with a very confused look on her face. I asked her what was wrong. She said the video of the UFO she had recorded the night prior was gone. She swears to this day that she did not delete it. I don't know. This is one of the weirdest things that have ever happened to me." Thanks for listening to these creepy and allegedly true and unexplained horror stories sent in by viewers just like you. If you enjoyed these stories, please be sure to hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. The more likes this video gets, the more YouTube promotes it in that darn algorithm. If you're new to the Swamp, why not join us and hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future episode, whether it's something you can't quite explain or a different kind of story, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the Swamp. It's stories like yours that keep this show going on a daily basis. If you're on the go and you don't have YouTube Premium, but still want to listen to your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories wherever you go, you can download them absolutely free from iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about everywhere else you find your favorite podcast online. And like I said, it's absolutely free to do so. If you would like to support the channel outside of hitting that like button and subscribing to the channel, maybe check out the merch store. I have t-shirts, hoodies, face masks, mugs, and everything you could imagine. Currently, I have a winter exclusive design out right now that'll only be printed until the new year. So definitely grab one before it's gone forever. I think you guys will really like the design. It's really cool. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the Swamp the way you do. I couldn't do this on a daily basis without you all. Before we end this video, I would love to know in the comments down below, what story tonight was your favorite? Tell me why. Currently, the giveaway for a free Swamp Dweller face mask is still going, so definitely check my last video to find out how to enter. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.